I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and join me in turning to the book of Psalms, to my favorite psalm, Psalm 103. This is a psalm about praise, about giving praise to God. Now, the ESV, as the King James and most translations say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And the saying throughout, bless the Lord. But a contemporary way of saying that is what the NIV says, praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, praise His holy name. So when you bless may not convey to you what it means. It means to praise the Lord, to give Him praise. And we're going to look at that tonight. I thought it was appropriate, it's always appropriate to look at Psalms that praise God. But in contrast to those that maybe normally we might give praise to, there are thousands of people, millions of people tonight that are giving praise to to football players, football teams. You know, they are. They're giving praise to their team. In fact, when we leave here, we're going to go home or go somewhere, and some of us will perhaps turn on the TV and be giving praise to a football team. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing. But the question is, what have those football teams done for us? I've been a sports fan all my life. And you know what? You know what my sports teams have done? They've broken my heart. That's what they've done. Sooner or later, that's what they all do. And yet I continue to follow them and praise them and live and die with them, figuratively speaking. But, you know, the Lord deserves our praise. He will never disappoint us. So after I pray, we're going to read the entire psalm and then come back and unpack it just a little bit. Would you bow with me? Father, indeed, Lord, You are worthy of praise. We do desire to praise You, that all that is within us would praise Your holy name. Bless Your holy name. Lord, receive our praise. Make it pleasing in Your ears and in Your sight. Lord, purge us from anything that is impure, that would hinder our being able to praise You as You deserve and as we desire. Lord, we pray that with all that we do, with all those that we give praise to, none would rival our praise to You for who You are and for what You've done and what You're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Bless the Lord, or praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Can I get an amen? And we're going to amen anything, we ought to amen that. If you want to applaud something in church sometime, you applaud that. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to point out three things tonight. And the last one will take up the most of the time because it takes up most of the text. First, I want us to see is the who of praise. Who is it that is to praise or bless the Lord? Secondly, I want us to see the how of praise. How are we to bless the Lord or praise the Lord? And then I want us to see the why of praise. Why are we called to praise or bless the Lord? First of all, the who of praise. Well, we see three categories of those who should bless or praise the Lord. First of all, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that is those who have been blessed already by the Lord. Us, God's people. Those of us who have benefited from the Lord. Have you benefited? Have you been the recipient of God's benefits to you? Yes, we all have. Even if you're not a believer, even if you're not a Christian, you are the recipient of God's grace by the very fact that right now you're not in hell. That is a benefit to you. God is extending mercy to you. His kindness, his goodness is reaching out to you saying, another chance, another opportunity, another day, another moment for you to repent, for you to trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord. So we've all received benefits from him. So God's people, first of all, should praise him. But not only that, the angels and the heavenly hosts, if we jump down to verses 20 and 21, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. He's talking about the heavenly host, the angels are to bless and praise the Lord. And guess what? They do it. And they do it well. They do it as we ought to do it. But then it says all his works. Bless the Lord, all his works. Verse 22. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord or praise the Lord, O my soul. And, you know, it's interesting that the angels, the heavenly host, and creation, they speak clearly, loudly. They proclaim faithfully God's praises, God's blessings. It's only people that fail to do that well. The scripture says, Psalm 19, you know it, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night. And night unto night shows knowledge. God's creation faithfully declares him, praises him. The heavenly hosts, the angels, they do so. That is, those that haven't fallen. But we sometimes fail. So the who of praise, God's people, heavenly hosts, all his works. We don't have control over what the works or the heavenly hosts do, but we do control what we do. And that leads me to point number two, the how of praise. The psalmist David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1. And what? All that is within me, bless or praise his holy name. All that is within me. Have you ever gotten excited about something so that every part of you let it be known how you felt about it? I mean, you worship or you express joy or dissatisfaction, anger, whatever, with every bit of you. We all know what that's like. Again, for me, pray for me. Sports is such a part of my life. I'm sorry. Normally, I'm a fairly placid, you know, even-keeled, even-tempered kind of person. That's what my wife thought I was. When we were dating, before we got married, I'm surprised that she actually went through with it, but in 1981, April of 1981, we were engaged to be married, and we were together watching a basketball game. Now, it wasn't just any basketball game. Y'all know I grew up in Indiana. Forgive me. I'm a Hoosier fan, all right? Now, when they're playing well, no. Y'all should be, you know, not now, but I'm sure many of you were Hoosier fans when Bobby Knight was coaching, right? Because he's an Ohio boy, right? So I'm sure you all loved the Hoosiers when Bobby Knight was coaching because, I mean, he's an Ohio State grad. You know, played in the national championship and all that. But anyway, 1981, Indiana was playing North Carolina for the national championship. I'm sure you all remember it well. I do. My wife does. Not because she cared anything about the game, but because it was the first time she saw what I turned into during a sporting event that I cared about. I mean, I went nuts. All right? Rooting for the Hoosiers. I mean, every bit of me, every part of me, all that was within me was pulling for the Hoosiers to win the game. And by the way, they did win. As they should have. But anyhow, there are people right now, the game I assume is kicked off, there are people in the midst of that kind of praise, that kind of cheering, that kind of excitement, and will do so throughout the game. And yet, and I'm not saying that worshiping God is the same as being at a sporting event. But if we can put that kind of energy into sports, something that really, what kind of stake do we have in it? And as I said earlier, what benefit do we derive from it other than, you know, a little bit of wasted time? Anyway, following a team, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But compare it to what has been done for us by God. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And not just a little bit, and not just, you know, complacently, not just going through the motions like we are so prone to do, but all that is within me, bless or praise His holy name. Why? Well, that leads us to the third point, the why of praise. He sums it up in the second part of verse 2, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits." All His benefits. And then He lists a multitude of benefits. So we see the greatness of God's benefits. First of all, we see that God's pardon is great. In verses 3 and 4, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good," verse 5, "so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David says God's pardon is so great. He's going to talk about that a little bit more, you know, when he talked about how far God has removed our iniquities from us. But who forgives not just some, but all your iniquity. I remember being at a funeral years ago where the person responsible for leading the funeral explained that basically the death of Christ took care of the sins that were committed before we became a Christian. but that the rest of them were on us. And we had to do good, had to live good, and we had to count on others to pray for us and all that kind of thing in order to deal with the sins committed after we became a Christian. And I thought, that's not good news. I thought the gospel was supposed to be good news. There's no good news in that, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is that he forgives all your iniquity. And heals all your diseases. Now, the text doesn't say whether or not he's talking about physical diseases or spiritual diseases. Again, sin. I think the emphasis here, because of the context, is dealing with sin. But the reality is this. God is the great physician. Our Lord is the one who heals. No healing occurs apart from God's work. That's why it isn't just what we would consider to be miraculous healing that God should get credit for. I remember being chastened once in a letter by someone because I had thanked God for the work that doctors had done. And this person had the attitude that it's really just miraculous healing that God is involved in. And my response was that whether doctors are believers or not, whether nurses, you know, love the Lord or not, whether any person used to bring healing to someone is a Christian or not, they are still instruments in God's hands. God is sovereign over all. And he is the one who gives the ability to have the knowledge and the skill and everything, whether it's ever acknowledged or not. In fact, I read a story about Chinese Christians who heard about the medical technology that we have in our nation and how they said, what a miracle that is that God gives to you, doctors and nurses and medical science, the ability to bring all this healing and everything. Even in spite of the fact that they were seeing many people healed miraculously, they felt like it was a greater miracle that we had all the medical science and medical knowledge that we have. Here's the point. God is the one who deserves the praise for all healing, whether it comes in a way that we consider to be miraculous or in a way that we consider to be the result of scientific and medical technology and medicine. God's pardon is great. He says he redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies your desires with who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Not only does God pardon our sins and crown us with loving kindness, but he showers us with good things that we do not deserve. It would be enough just to be forgiven. But he satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I think of Psalm 37 verses 3 and 4 where we read, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and what? Some of you know the rest of it. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, because if you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will be his desires and he will be pleased to meet those desires and give you good things. So God's pardon is great because he not only forgives, he restores more than we lost in our sin. He blesses us beyond comprehension. But not only that, God's protection is great. Notice in verses 6 and 7, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. God moved and worked on behalf of his people to bring them out of bondage, out of Egypt, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And while that generation didn't get to go in because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith, their children did get to go into the promised land, and God gave that to them. He protected them against all odds, against all kinds of opponents. Pharaoh and his great army and all the armies that they encountered on the way. And when he led them into the promised land, he defeated their foes again and again and again. Have you ever thought about Israel? Have you ever looked on a map at how small Israel is in compared to all the nations around it? It's nothing. And yet God has preserved and protected his people. His protection is great. He works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and Acts to the people of God. His patience is also great. God's patience is great. In verses 8 through 12, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I remember reading in a book several years ago about how we often come to the Lord. We have confessed a sin, and yet we have fallen again. We all have those areas, right? Those things that we struggle with, like I was talking this morning, those things we lack self-control in or whatever it is, and we fight these battles, and we confess again and again. And the author of this book says, you know, when we confess those, God forgives and, as it were, forgets them. We remember them. And so we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done it again. And he says, done what? Because as far as the east is from the west, how far is that? They never meet, do they? In reality, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is just, no doubt about that. But here's what we need to keep in mind. The just one has already poured out his wrath. He has paid. He has judged your sin and my sin. Every sin. In his son. And poured it out on him. So that he is patient with us. We tend to think that God is like a song, horrible song that I heard several years ago. Again, Chris and I were getting ready to be married, and we had hired a photographer, and we were in his office, studio, whatever, and talking to him, and he was playing, he would consider it Christian music, but it wasn't to me a Christian message. But I'll never forget the song. The line that was repeating over and over and over was, God's going to get you for that. That's often how we feel about God. Really? God's going to get me for that. And then when something goes wrong, oh, God's getting me for that, for what I did. That is not true. Now, does God chasten his people? Yes. Does he discipline us? Yes. But the idea that God is waiting for us to mess up so he can zap us is not a biblical concept. He is patient. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's patience is great. God's pity is great. We see in verses 13 and 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man. Wait a minute, excuse me. Verse 13, I'm sorry. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Many of your parents, you know the compassion that you have
for your children. You know how much better your children are than everybody else's children, right? So that when somebody else's kids act up, they need to get it. But when your kids act up, well, you understand, right? We have a tendency to be compassionate and show pity on our children. If we, in the words of Jesus, being evil, are that way towards our children, how much more compassionate is our Heavenly Father toward us? Is there anything that you would spare, any amount of money or energy or time, for your children, to give them the very best, to provide for them and take care of them in their time of need? No. You would exhaust yourself and every resource you have for your children. God is compassionate. His pity on His children is great, greater than we can imagine. But then God's perseverance is great. Verses 15 through 18. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and is gone, and his place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord continues to endure and persevere with us, with his people. His persevering love, his steadfast love, is from everlasting to everlasting. How long is everlasting? I remember as a kid sitting around and trying to imagine something that doesn't end. Imagine eternity. I couldn't comprehend it. Guess what? I still can't. I still can't comprehend eternity, something that never ends. But that's how steadfast God's love is. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's from everlasting to everlasting. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8 that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, finally we see that God's providence is great. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. It would be somewhat incomplete. It would be somewhat tentative. Our situation would be somewhat tentative. Even though God's pardon is great, and his protection is great, his patience and pity and perseverance are great, if his providence were not great, if he did not rule over all, there might be some question about whether or not he could follow through on what he promises. But the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So what are we to do because of God's benefits? Well, you know, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless or praise his holy name. Now, it's okay if you go home tonight and praise your team. That's okay. Just make sure that you know who to praise the most. Not just for a night, not just for a season, but every moment of every day of all of your life.